Hello, welcome back to Actual Play, Court of Blades. This is episode 3, part 1, and it's been a while since I've been doing these audio conversions. This is the episode where we get to know the characters a little bit better. We start with an introduction of the characters, as well as some bonds between them, some history between them, and we start our first sortie. And this is the standard play of Court of Blades. The first session was a little bit of diving in to a situation, and this is more where we get some chances to decide where we're going to invest our energies. And in this case, it's helping out an old friend of Lenore's who is in need of some monster hunters, and we are going to do our best to help her out and find out what denizens lurk the dark shadows of Illyrian. So join us for some contrariness, some flirting, and some fun. Hello, welcome to Actual Play, Court of Blades. Woohoo! We are here for a political intrigue and duels and dark deeds and who knows what else, maybe kisses too. Very excited about this game. I'm Sean Nittner. I use he, him pronouns. You can find me everywhere at Sean Nittner. I am playing Kor, the Bravo. She is from Yangshi, and she's there. She was an established advocate, but she does not have the same credentials here. And so she is in Illyrian. She is trying to gain back her former rank and sort of appease her Yangshi family and her foster family. And she's also really good at pissing people off, apparently. That's a skill. That's a good thing. So I'm very excited to play her and play with all these rad fellow peeps. As usual, any proceeds that we make on the channel are split between the Trans Legal Defense Fund and Black Lives Matter. So if you send us monies, that's where they'll go, and we will appreciate them. Thank you so much. How about you, Navi?
I'm Navi, and I am playing Rumor, the key. So she's the Maurizi kind of person who's made to fit everywhere, kind of. So she's a little all over the place. She's definitely green, so I think I'm playing the youngest of the group. I use she, her pronouns, as does Rumor. And you can find me at Navi Musing. What do you, Jamie?
Hi, I'm Jamie. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm playing Malika Deschalons, the Lady of Ashes, the knack of the group. And basically, I was once a witch of the wilds, taken in as a consort to the Lady Bastien Deschalons. And obviously, I'm civilized now. None of that wildness remains, of course. I'm here to take power for myself in any way that can help me and mine. So yeah, I'm very, very excited to play. And how about you, Kristen?
Hi, I'm Kristen. I use she, her pronouns. You can find me on Twitter at KristenIsNoJedi. I am playing Lenore, who also uses she, her pronouns, from the Hawk playbook. Lenore is a dangerous bounty hunter, and she has kind of a mysterious past. She's from Garnet, and she has done a lot of monster hunting, and I think she's here somewhat reluctantly serving this house, but I know that she has some good connections with these folks, and I think she's loyal to them, and so I'm so excited to play and jump in. How about you, Drake?
Hey everybody, I'm Drake. I'm using he, him pronouns, and I am going to be playing everybody else. I'll be jamming tonight's endeavors. Before we kind of jump in, there's been a little bit of talk offline about how we needed to put together some bonds for these people, how we all kind of got together, how we all know each other from before we became this arcane coterie in service to House Vitalia. I've got pointed questions, but at the same time, I'm really interested to know if anybody's got some place that they want to start. Anybody have a question or a bond for one of the other characters that you guys would like mm-hmm. to discuss? Otherwise, I'll start asking questions and it's going to get real uncomfortable.
I have an idea for a bond for my key. If anybody's interested, otherwise, if there's another idea, anybody can throw that out. But I was thinking, because she's kind of young and green and she comes from a kind of sketchy background, it might make sense that someone within the group kind of vouched for her, like knows that she is capable. So if anybody's interested in that, or conversely, maybe somebody is... not happy that she's there because they maybe not sure that they that someone at her level is gonna be like able to watch their back. So either of those.
Oh, those are both right.
Those are so good.
Yeah, those are extremely tempting.
Yeah, I don't think I can vouch for anyone. I don't know if my word means anything, but I do think I'm worried because last time I was trying to play protective of you. I'm worried that you're not going to be able to survive. I think because you remind me of someone that we saw fall, right? Someone around your age, someone around your experience who didn't survive long serving us. So I'm worried that the same thing's going to happen to you.
I feel like the way Cor responded to Rumor last time when you're like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know what's going on either. I'm sure it's some lark. It felt like we had a familiarity there, a kinship perhaps. So Jammy, would you be cool if Cor sort of perhaps loudly has disagreed with Malika and has like advocated?
Oh yeah,
like
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
Didn't even advocate for Rumor that much in the beginning, but like doubled down when you said like, no, she's too young. And I was like, no, she's fine. She's great, totally free of herself.
Yeah, of course, we always take the opposite end of each other. Yeah, I like that.
That's my feeling.
So, like, just to disagree, because it's what we do. Yeah.
Like well, that. And I mean, it could be interesting, because I don't know if Rumor would see through that and realize that Cor's motivations might have just been to be contrary, or if there's actually, you know, if there's a friendship there that's growing, or both. I think that those are all fun, like, possibilities.
Yeah, we will play to find out.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So does anybody else have anything that they want to bring to the fore, or shall I ask uncomfortable questions?
Yeah, I really want to know something about Lenore Kirsten. And I feel like there is just like such a rich, like there's like such that she has such a rich history that I want a little kernel of that. And I'm wondering if there is one of us that you have saved from monsters, or one of us that you have identified as having sort of a monstrous trait, like a dangerous trait that, you know, humans Ooh. Who have, you know, hundreds of generations ago in heritage or dream mixed with monsters or something like that. I just wonder if you see anything monstrous in any of us.
No pressure, but
no, we'll no. Well, I feel like Lenore and Malika already established a small bond last time in that we have clearly worked together before. So I think we can build on that organically. I do like the idea that I recognize like a monstrous trait or something I've seen in a monster in either Rumor or Cor. And I think that maybe the way Lenore discovered it is, I've decided, and Drake, pull me back if this is too much. I've decided that when Lenore hunts monsters, she always takes something from them, not like a trophy. She bottles a part of their like essence, and it's for studying, and it's only for defeating other monsters, healing, medicine, right? It's that type of, but she actually takes that. And I think it's like different colors. And so she has bottles kind of on her that she holds. And I think in studying one of those, like maybe a purple essence, she recognized something, either a feeling or a smell that reminded her of either Rumor or Cor.
Who wants to jump on that grenade?
Oh, that's so good. Navi, are you excited about this? I'm excited about it, but I'm also a greedy character. I'm just like, yeah, give me problems. So I think I could see it fitting either of our characters really well. What do you think?
No, I'm actually really excited about it too, but I think I'll give this one to you because I think that the just your character, it's going to be interesting to see if that comes out later.
Awesome. So, Kristen, I love that I love the idea that it's a smell, that mm-hmm. there's some sort of like, where have you been? And Cora's been like, I've been out, I've been around. Like, where did you pick, where does this smell come from? Right. That it's not like, it's not a body odor. It's like a, she's been a place, you know, like she's been to a bar or something like that. And picked up a smell along the way. Also, I think it might be fun if like when she's around, that particular essence like swirls in the bottle, you know, just like a visual cue for our audience, right? Like,
I love it.
Awesome.
It fits into our special effects budget. It's awesome. Yeah.
I'm so glad we got the contract for that.
Right.
Excellent. So that's Lenore and Rumor done. Who wants to go next?
Let's see. I think I want to... Yeah, I feel like I want to... because I do have that connection with Lenore and this... love-hate thing going on with Core. So bless my partner. Sorry, if that exact moment.
Articulate that love-hate.
I know, I know. Watch out.
Commitment to the bit, though. Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. But Core, I want to ask, why is it that I still have to grudgingly respect you? There's another one.
Why is it that you still have to grudgingly respect me? That's a really good
question.
Yeah. Do you think it would be something, Jamie, do you think it would be something that would be martial in nature? Like, because one of the questions I was going to ask is like, who of you have I dueled? I was going to ask and see if that was a thing. I'm not sure if that's Malika's jam. I don't know if she's into brandishing blades against, you know, to settle disputes. But that's, if it's a martial thing, that's one possible way. There could also be like a house status thing. Core could have higher status within House Battaglia for whatever reason. And that because, oh, I know why it would be. It's because she's so, because Blair, the fawning noble, thinks so highly of her that she may have higher status in the house. So I could see either of those. Or I guess if you'd like more like an aspect of her character, I would say that like Core is like loyal to her friends to like a stupid point and has definitely gotten in fights on their behalf and is probably misguided most of the time, but it's, you know, she's definitely like, you don't have to ever have to worry or wonder if she's gonna have your back if she's your friend.
Ooh, all of those are really good, but I like the third one best. I think Malika's not used to seeing such loyalty, especially in the city. And I like to think, even though our house is known for our honor, tradition, loyalty, you are extremely loyal, like way past the the norm. And as much as I think you are beneath me, you know, but secretly I'm in love. You know, I think that's that would be perfect.
Nice, I dig it. So then whether it be a duel of wits, of blade, of some skill, I think Core is like very like obsessed with any kind of public displays of competition. Like her favorite competition is not swordsmanship, it's court. Like that's like not like it's like legal court. Like that's her favorite, like disputing the facts and the truth and whatnot. That's like actually her favorite, you know, arena. So she takes the idea of a duel very broadly. Malika Rumor or Lenore, do you think either of you would have dueled Core before? And what did you beat her in? Because literally it can be any contest, as long as it's like a public one and there's a way to establish a winner. It could have been a crocheting duel. Like it's I'm super up for any kind of competition.
Cross-stitching so hard.
Totally. Calligraphy, debate, yeah.
I think I can take that one. I think that's a Rumor challenged Core to a a very specific kind of card game that they play back in her homeland. And the thing is that every time you lose a hand, you have to take a shot. So the more you lose, the worse you lose.
Awesome. So so I assume that Core ended this night extremely hammered. I dig it. But it was very public. It was done in a, if that's okay with you. It was like, this game was played where everybody could see.
Oh yeah, they're placing bets. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Do you have a name of the game?
Everybody else bets. You guys don't bet.
Yeah, exactly.
Which one falls down first? That one. Right.
I like the idea that if you lose a hand, you have to drink a shot, but you lose the game by the person who collapses out of their seat, which could either be because you're a better player or just because you have more fortitude. Rumor.
Just a better drinker.
Rumor perhaps has both. Is there a name of this game?
Tonk.
Tonk. Love it.
It's the sound you make when you hit the bar.
Tonk.
Yes. Okay. All right. So I feel like we've got a little bit more of a window into who these people are, which makes me incredibly happy. I've missed you guys these past 2 weeks. So let's lay our first scene here, because it's Primavera in Ilrien. Last game, we were at the very, very tail end of Invierno. The cold is fleeing from the city as we kind of do the crane shot down into the winding alleyways of the Twist and up toward the Guilt. Did we decide if the House of Battaglia is on the Necropolitan Hill? Like, do we keep the watch there, or are we in the city proper?
Yeah, I think we established that it was on it, and that's why we have to guard that person who may not really be dead, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, because if we do that, then we get to have like the estate outside the city that is kind of looking down over the Necropolitan Hill, down toward the Traitor's Gate and the Twist. So let me back up that crane shot, because we are going to drop down from the canals through the Twist, out the Traitor's Gate, and up toward this once fabulous palatial estate that is not in ruin, not in decrepitude or anything like that, but just a little bit dingy. And this is the new home of the sixth house of the Esseltare. Now, last season, House Castenio, the sixth house of the Esseltare until last season, has basically fallen apart, eaten from within by this conspiracy, this strange confluence of events that have shown that they are dabbling with things that are beyond the ken, trying to wake the deathless, apparently. And even as they, you know, say that it was rogue elements and that they had nothing to do with it, everybody knows. And people who have that kind of scandal can't hold power anymore. They've been quietly removed, shuffled off, gone to visit distant relations, and some of them just will never be seen again. But House Battaglia is on the rise, and that means you're on the rise. So where, I ask you, are we meeting with our handler? Because every coterie under House Battaglia, and indeed every house in the city, has someone that has to answer for them if it all goes wrong. If you guys are the angels, then we need Charlie. Where do we meet our Charlie?
I think this speaks a lot towards like our sense of autonomy, whether or not it's we report to the estate and we're there, you know, at the behest of the house, mm-hmm. or whether we have our own, I don't want to say lair, but you know, our own place that we frequent, where our handler might come. It could be lower profile. There could be good reasons politically for us to not be making our presence known there. But I think it changes the dynamic of the way information is passed back and forth, whether or not it's like we're all coming to attention at the house, or whether we're they're coming to us. Is anyone? I don't know. And there's other options too, but I just that occurs.
Absolutely. I just want to know if there's a particular place that you might receive, you know, your orders, or if there is more of like this is sort of a dead drop situation. Like what? Pitch me a scene here, because I can think like doing this in the wardroom, out in the gardens. I can see this, you know, in a seedy brothel downtown. I can see this wherever. I just need you guys to pitch me a scene, and I'll bring a handler for you.
Yeah, I was thinking like a tavern, but Jamie, go ahead. What were you thinking?
No, I was going to say tavern. We are connected.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I think since we are so close to the twist, that this is one of those places that's right on the edge of the Trader's Gate. I think this is, I'm gonna dust off an old chestnut. So Navi, go ahead and give me the side eye here. But I think this is the last drop. This is the tavern right at the edge of the Trader's Gate. The sign shows a vaguely nervous young gentleman holding a mug with a noose around his neck atop a gallows. And inside, it's smoky. It's fairly anonymous. It's one of those places where everybody is very interested in the contents of their drink and not looking around much, unless you know what to look for. Do you guys have a table? Is this something that that you guys are known for, or is this we are meeting here completely anonymously?
Oh no, I think we have a table. I think we have a nice booth. Table where there's I wouldn't say it's like complete privacy, but there's definitely the opportunity to conspiratorially sort of huddle in.
Of course, that's what this place is,
like
all
at the back.
This place is all conspiracy tables. Like it's Ilrian's great game down here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even among the people of the twist. So yeah. I think as we're kind of doing that shot,
I think that there's a band that they're performing and that they always have live. They always have music because that helps deaden, that creates ambient noise so people can have private conversations and not be overheard. And we have the prestige of having one of the tables that are behind the music. So not only do we, you kind of have to cross around, you sort of have to be in the know enough to be back there, but also there's like a back door that we could, run out. That sounds cool to folks.
Very important to have the back door that you can run out. Okay, so I think as we're kind of doing the shot down through the doorway and through the kind of the smoke and the bluster around the bandstand and back toward this kind of alcove, I think that there's a moment where we kind of get the pan around shot of our coterie, faces kind of in concentration, and then there's an unfamiliar one. There's a masked gentleman, somebody who clearly is of the quality here in Ilrian, where all the nobles wear masks. This is your handler. This is Giovanni Battiste Battaglia, probably second cousin to the sitting prince of the house. And I think he is, kind of looking from one to the other, and he's like, "And the whole damn hill came in. Really? I've got to say, that's a new one on me." I think that that there have been coteries who have done collateral damage, but never one who's destroyed a graveyard. That's a new one.
I mean, we had some help, like probably eons of digging and tunneling and sorceress necromancy that happened underneath. It's not like we went down there and did an excavation. It just collapsed. It was hollow to begin with. We just happened to poke the eggshell that cracked. I'm glad you didn't build anything on it. It would have been a catastrophe.
I'm not even mad, frankly. It's really just rather dash impressing. I think that's rather why they gave you to me. I think that that they think that maybe you need some top cover, and I think I'm your top cover. Giovanni Battiste is he's a fairly short gentleman, maybe 5'5", not an imposing figure by any stretch of the imagination. He's going in what he assumes is fairly incognito, so there's only a little bit of filigree on his jacket.
Incognito with the mask.
Incognito with a mask, exactly, because everybody with a mask is incognito. He's got, these platform shoes that make him a couple inches taller. They're studded with seed pearls. But overall, he still cuts a figure, but he's very cloak and dagger about this whole thing. But he's carrying with him a small satchel, and he sets it down on the table, and he's like, "Well, word from the quality has come down, and despite everything that happened in the Necropolitan Hill, they have told me that you are more than up to the task of these little babies here. If you'd like, you can page through, and if you've got any questions, I'd be more than happy to expound or explicate." So everybody's doing all right then. I'll scarper and get some drinks. Let's have a look around and see what speaks to you. And so he, kind of hands out these leatherette folios, and inside there are some brief descriptions of the four things that we rolled up in the GM's turn for this season. So, who would like to read theirs first? Because we all have one in Roll 20.
Yeah, I have one that's very personal. So I'll kick off because it's our normal reading order. And let's throw this up so everybody can see as well. All right, this one I love because it's mostly my fault. Cipriana, we are newly risen to the ranks of the Esultare and already Battaglia has incurred the displeasure of the sitting prince. Their creature, Cipriana, has complained loudly in certain circles that Battaglia has been too long off the board of the great game, and perhaps we have forgotten the rules. The slight is a trifle, but it echoes from up high. And like a pebble rolling down a mountain, we are concerned about what it might dislodge in its fall. This is the time to make friends, not enemies. Our position is still tenuous. House Battaglia charges you to present yourselves to the House Lavelle, make contact with Cipriana, and make your apologies in whatever way pleases best. Doesn't say who it pleases, just say whatever way pleases best.
I think when Cor describes this, Malika very poorly hides a laugh behind their hand.
I think that Rumor's just kind of, she's got the big eyes and she's kind of hiding behind her drink, like, oh.
Cor rolls it back up and like dances around and like pokes at Rumor and is like, what have you got there? And sort of looks to you to tell us what other errands we might run.
Rumor kind of, she'll flip through the dossier and come to that part of the page. And so Federico Armati, a cousin by marriage of House Battaglia, has vanished from the household without a word of warning. His effects are still within his apartments and there are no signs of anything untoward. He has simply vanished. Our only clue to his disappearance are the contents of his wash basin, a rhyme of liquid silver, and a secondhand memories of a horror of the dead empire are all we have to go on. Chase to the Rumors of the speaking silver and say to it that if Federico yet lives, you return him to the house. So we have a missing cousin to hunt down.
Seems, Cor kind of looks at Lenore to see if any of those like artifacts like cause her to perk up, any of these missing things seem suspicious.
Yeah, I think that she's gonna look over at Malika and be like, what's speaking silver? Try not to look like she doesn't know what's going on.
Yes, speaking silver. Speaking silver. No, I know. I'm just checking to see if you know.
I think Lenore just raises one eyebrow and then continues drinking.
Nice.
And I think Malika's a little worried about exposing Rumor to something like that. And so Malika quickly talks about the dossier that they're looking at.
Nice.
And they say out loud, the conspiracy which ate the hearts from House Castino weighs heavily upon the minds of the citizenry of Ilrien and the Esultari at large. With regard to your association with the ill-favored ritual beneath the Necropolitan Hill, you are hereby charged to find those who dispatched the rogue neck, who woke the ghouls beneath the dead Watcher Vigil House. And if there is a conspiracy to wake that which sleeps beneath the hill, you must root it out, ensure that they cannot try again. And I look around at the group and I say, as much as I would love to see our beloved Cor fawn and apologize at who she has disturbed, I do think this could be a good one, my friends, to make sure we find who had sent a weapon against us.
Cor bats her eyes flirtatiously when you say, as much as you'd love to see her apologize. She looks like an innocent doe caught in the woods. And then before Lenore can unravel hers, she snatches it out of her hands and says,
"What else is there?"
Yeah, and says, and kind of winks as she does it, and says, "The stalker among the arbor, something stalks among the groves of the arbor. Aveline, a Mercy, has been dispatched to investigate a recent slaying and has reached out, as they so often do, to the shields of Ilrian, House Battaglia. The Mercies are stretched thin, and your coterie has already garnered something of a reputation for your familiarity with things arcane. The Battaglia's first reaction to the scene was to send a contingent of pike. Though with our position tenuous and no shortage of enemies, a handful of specialists were suggested. Meet with Mercy Aveline and help her end the bloodshed." I can see why this one was meant for you, Lenore. Would you like to go aid one of your peers? Or should I say one of your former peers,
since you've
now dedicated yourself wholeheartedly and with no remorse of your former life to House Battaglia?
Of course. I think that Lenore was definitely on board and ready to speak up about trying to find out who woke the ghouls, right? I think that had her attention, absolutely. And when she hears this, although I don't know if her face betrays it, this one definitely piques her interest, but I don't think she's going to say anything for that reason. She doesn't want to show which side she's going to choose, and so I think she's going to sit back and be kind of silent, at least while everyone starts talking. She's going to approach this cautiously for sure.
So Giovanni Battista is coming back to the table at this point. He's got a couple of crystal glasses kind of perched in one hand, and then he's got a decanter in the other. He's like, "The wine list here. I swear, why?
All
why
do we two of here? Them.
Yeah, exactly. There's the red. There's the other red." But he sits down and he starts pouring wine, and he's like, "So you've had a second to look over the folios. Is there anything that, what do we think that might be our priority? What can I bring to the prince to allay some fears? You have it all in hand, I'm certain."
"Oh yes, I mean, there's four dossiers here and there's four of us. I'm sure, you know, we should have no trouble."
"Of course, and we have all the time in the world."
"Yeah, just, it all has to be done right now."
"Yes, exactly. If you could just do it all right, if you could do it tonight, that'd be great."
"Well, we have, we have the peacocks. We should probably name some of them. It's worth noting that we have a band of courtiers." So Kor says, "As much as I would love to see Cipriana's glorious, beautiful face again, and perhaps have a chance to cross more than words with her, I doubt I would actually elicit the kind of positive feelings that the house is hoping for. Why don't we send the peacocks to go talk to Cipriana? They could send gifts and pleasantries and falsehoods about her beauty and intelligence and incredible accomplishments. I'm sure she has at least some of those."
"You're going to spare her your ray of sunshine. However shall she manage? All right, then we're going to just leave Cipriana's feelings unmended, except for sending a brace of courtiers to go and allay any concerns she might have about us."
"Oh, I'm sure our men are quite capable of distracting her."
"Certainly, certainly.
They're very distracting, especially, you know, as they do their courtly duties, like cutting wood and putting things up in high rafters and lifting other things that they might have to."
"Bartolomeo does cut quite a striking figure, I will give you that." "Very well, then we have three things on our docket still. Is there anything that I can bring to the prince to say that you are currently handling it personally?"
How do folks feel about that? Like, Cora has that dossier and she's like ready to set it down, and I'm just kind of looking to make sure no one is like, no, we have to go talk to Cipriana.
Yeah. Oh, no. Like, as I think Malika is secretly like, okay, if we don't see Cor in a dress tonight, I can like survive this evening intact. So I think actually Malika's concerned for Lenore. I think Malika will vouch for the one to help the Mercy, actually.
Okay.
Aveline. Drake, Aveline is, what are Aveline's pronouns?
Aveline is going to be she, her.
Okay. Do we know her? Is she previously, not obviously not a member of our retinue, but is she previously an ally of House Pataglia?
I think by virtue of being being the one to reach out to House Pataglia, she might have a previous tie to House Pataglia. I don't think that she has a previous tie to any of you, unless you can tell me, you know, that yes, in fact, I do have a previous tie with Mercy Aveline.
Okay, Lenore.
Yeah, I could totally see Lenore having previous history. But in general, Mercies are a small, tight-knit kind of group, but they work in like a cell structure. So there are five, six that work together, but they typically are spread very thin. So I could see this just being, I need a little bit of backup. Who am I gonna go to but the House of Marshal Valor, right?
It's certainly playing to our strengths, right? That we have both force and transport as our strengths. I think that we could get anywhere she needs to be, and that we could, you know, back her up with the steel as needed. Cora is all for, you know, unless Aveline has done something to wrong us, Cora is all for, you know, aiding one of our allies rather than making nice with the prince's creature, as I think the dossier described it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Lenore agrees. I think Lenore is a little bit glad that Malika spoke up first, because she wasn't going to. So I think once Malika kind of gives her stamp of approval, then Lenore follows.
Yeah, I think that Giovanni Battista is gratified by this whole turn of events as well. He's like, well, this is the one that does have a body count. So I can totally see this being a priority for everyone, especially given histories. Yes, so the Arbor, it's bad for business. It's bad for everybody, really. It is Irlanda territory. That is the second house in the city. And this is something of, you know, something of a coup if we manage to solve it before they do, right? It is, it's rather a get to have the Mercies come to us rather than House Irlanda. So.
Yeah, about that, how was it that last time we all were told to come to the hill and then only found out after we got out that Cipriana had been summoned as well? Can we avoid that? Can we not do that again? I mean, I'm all for ending a death-defying escape from a collapsing hill with a duel, but, you know, seems like maybe we, if we want to make sure we're not making more enemies, that we could clear that with the house to make sure we're not stepping on anyone's toes.
Cor, darling, you have me now. I'm your top cover. Of course,
right.
We can make sure that you didn't have me last time. I can make sure that nothing untoward happens as far as Cipriana goes. I'll make sure that the peacocks are adequately entertaining, that she won't just show up out of the blue. I'm here for you. You just tell me what you need. I'll help you out.
I love all the promises, and I'm so excited to find out whether or not he actually comes through on any of them. And
yeah, because Malika's thinking this means we're on our own, doesn't it?
Yeah, Lenore is not convinced or impressed by this.
Well, since you put it that way, I feel completely assured and no concern at all.
Excellent. That's my job. I'm supposed to set you at your ease so that you can do your job. That's why the prince gave you to me, or me to you. That's what I'm here for. So I'll go, I'll talk to the prince. Is there anything you need from me? Anything I can do for you? Anybody I can put you in contact with? Sister Aveline, she sent her whereabouts in the Arbor. The Velvet Twist is her rooming house where she's keeping apartments right now. It's cheap, so she's got that going for her. But otherwise, I can see about, you know, putting out feelers or anything like that, or I can leave you to it. What works for you?
These recent slayings, anybody important? I mean, people are important. I don't
want
to judge people as though they're not all important citizens of this fine, magnificent city, but who has been falling prey?
Exceedingly politic, that. No masks. For the most part, it's been vintners, people who are working the arbor. A couple of people who were the wrong place at the wrong time. It doesn't seem like there's any kind of pattern or anything like that. It seems disturbingly random, and that's, I believe, why there's a mercy involved. But no, nobody of import to the Esseltare, right?
I think Core nods, and I'm super like, unless anybody has more things going on in the scene, I'm super ready to like smash cut to the to meeting with Avelyn.
I do want to ask, did we keep the stress from last time or?
No, we are full stress, we are clear stress, and okay. We're clear harm as well. There's been a season that's gone by between the hill and now.
Just noting.
Beat on you tonight. Okay. Well, then we will move directly to speaking with Mercy Adeline. All right. So I think that we meet Mercy Adeline. It's maybe 2 hours later. It's been kind of one of those sun-drenched afternoons in Primavera. There's just a light mist that is rolling off the harbor right as the sun begins to set. The arbor is a sort of a sloping a grand quarter of the city that is all sort of walled gardens and terraces and things like that. Around the outskirts of the arbor, where it's still roads and cobbles and things like that, as opposed to terrace and dirt tracks, this breadbasket of the city, where all of the interesting alchemical fruits and concoctions and things like that come from. There is a swath of beautiful, almost not quite resort, but kind of on that level, right? There's this sort of rooming houses that are these small bungalows that are kind of terraced on top of each other. And one of these bills itself is the Velvet Twist. This is where Aveline is keeping herself while she is hunting this thing out in the arbor. I think that the person who's running the front desk of this rooming house gladly directs you as soon as they see that you are on Esseltare business up to the door, and you knock twice. And it opens up. Aveline is tall, kind of severe in bearing and features. Her hair is very closely shorn. She has a network of scars that kind of run from one eyebrow all the way back to an ear. She looks as though she lives hard, she lives rough, and is actually looks fairly effusive as soon as she notices that she has backup now. And like a wry smile kind of quirks one side of her mouth, and she says, "They sent me their best and brightest, didn't they?"
And I smile. Oh, sorry.
"I'm Aveline. Who are you?"
And I smile and say, "Of course they would send their very best." And I sort of nod towards Lenore. And say, "But yes, we are here to assist you. I apologize in advance for Lady Core, but I promise that we will do our very best."
Lenore, what marks a mercy to another mercy?
I think the way they greet each other. I think there's something about the way they like size each other up and do a slight nod that is very quickly recognized between mercies.
Yeah, like calls to like, right? And so mm-hmm. I think both of you were giving each other the elevator eyes at the same time. You notice each other giving you the elevator eyes. You knew she was a mercy. She didn't necessarily know that you were a mercy, but as she like looks up, she matches gaze for gaze. Mm-hmm. And like it is, it's a slow. Mm-hmm. and so, she flicks over to each of you in turn. Do you introduce yourself by name, Lenore, or do you let that be enough, right?
Yeah, I don't think she introduces herself by name. I think that's the greeting.
Okay, I like that. Cora's already been apologized for. Are you going to take that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she knows that Malika was just like messing around. But the funny thing was, Cora was like already, she's like, Lenore is a mercy. She's going to like treat this thing. And so Cora was like totally standing in the back, trying to like be like on her best. And then Malika's like just like gives her this jab for no reason. It's nothing to do with the fact that maybe she's wearing like an outlandish wig right now. I think Cora has a very impressive wig collection.
My monster hunting wig.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's like, she looks at Malika as you say, like apologize, and she just sort of furrows her brows and like it is preparing for like a savage wig that she will wear the next time that she sees Malika, that she knows is her personal favorite, even though Malika has never said anything about it, but she knows that it's the one that
oh my god, I love it.
Just drives her wild. So she's like, noted.
And Rumor, are you staying quiet during this whole thing, or are you step forward and introduce yourself?
I think that's sort of Rumor's thing right now. She's really kind of watching everyone's interactions. Like she was really, she caught the kind of the elevator eyes thing between the two of them, and like she kind of narrowed her eyes at that because she's like, there's something there. Like she's canny, so she's figuring out all of the intricacies of how everybody kind of acts in these situations, but she's not really interjecting herself when she is, as long as she can like fade out and like not be called on, she's just kind of watching.
So Malika, everything about you kind of screams knack, right? Is that a fair thing to say? Yeah. And yeah. Cor is wearing the magnificent wig and steel. Oh, Lenore is, what's that?
No, I was just confirming. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Lenore is clearly a mercy. I think Avelina is looking at Rumor right now and like kind of trying to do the elevator eyes and like trying to place what your function is in this strike team that Vitalia sent as backup. It looks like she's like furrowing her brow and kind of like sucking at her front teeth and like.
Oh, she's the brains.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, that's good. That's what we're going to need. Yeah.
Our protege and like Cora's like putting her hands out like on display to Rumor, but she's totally like looking daggers at Malika. What she says.
Wow.
Well, Malika's actually thinking. They're not going to say this out loud. Oh, it's a good thing the brainless can recognize the brains. But
I don't even have to. We don't even have to do the job. We can just keep doing this, man. Like, eventually, everybody's going to have stress and like traumas. Okay, I think Adeline like beckons you back into the rooming house, and it's a very like it's a. It looks like it would have been like a fairly posh apartment at one point, but it's seen better days. And she has like moved everything that does not have a purpose to like one side so that she can have kind of her Spartan apartment set out. She's got a map of the arbor laid out across the table. And it's clear that she's been doing the legwork, right? So she ushers you in. She doesn't offer a drink or a place to sit or anything like that. She just walks over to this table, stands there, folds her arms and says, "So this is what I know. There have been 7 killings. That's put this thing on my radar. There are 3 mercies in town. 2 of them are occupied, and there's me. Now, what I know is that we have corpses drained of blood, but not in the normal fashion.
What's the normal fashion?
It's that nothing neat or tidy.
Cor just sort of looks at Rumor and she jabs at you like she's holding a fencing blade, but there's nothing in her hand. She just sort of like pokes at you. Like, this is the normal way you drain a body of blood. There is definitely a normal way, at least in Cor's mind.
Oh, I see.
Yes. So nothing that bespeaks a leech or a vampire or anything like that. This is something older. This is something more dangerous. And I'm not sure exactly what it is that we are hunting, but I know that it has to be stopped. I know that it is doing most of its chasing in the southern section of the arbor nearest the poorer districts. So That is what I can tell you right now. I'm about to go and do some legwork and see if I can get you any other information. But I know that we have to find it tonight.
What did she say, in the what section of the arbor?
In the poorer sections of town, on the southern side.
Southern section, okay.
So that is what I know. Is there anything else I can help you with?
On this map that she has, are there little like pin markings where
doing the full tangle.
Yeah, I'd like to study it. I'd like to see if I can figure out a pattern of when, where, what might be triggering, figure out a way that we could predict where the next attack would be.
Sounds like a great gather information role, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to study the map, and I'm going to like dare Malika to, you know, to come up with a better theory than me. I don't know if you'd like to join in on a group action with me, but I'm definitely going to be like, I think it's this, but like, it's like almost maybe like too obvious. And I'm hoping that you can think of like the next least obvious thing. And then I will think of the next least obvious thing. And who could ever think of the least obvious thing?
Are we like study dueling here?
Exactly. I'm doing this as a group action, which is cooperative, but I'm leading. I'm offering to lead it, meaning I will take the stress because I'm happy for us to, I'm happy for me to be stressed out by this study duel format.
You're going to push yourself into a position where you might take some stress on gather information because it's going to show that you're superior.
Absolutely. I think so. I was going to offer something similar. So.
Mechanically, it works a little different because if you do well, I won't take stress.
Yeah, exactly.
Versus in my envisionment, but that's okay. I'm still happy to play scorned if you best me in this.
Yes.
I know what I want Lenore to do while this is happening, but of course we can get to me after. It'll just happen at the same time if that's okay.
Yeah, we're in pure narrative time here.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. We can do all the things.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm gonna roll my study. What is this? Is this a?
This is a gather information. This is a fortune roll. So there's no. I can't hurt you with this yet. It's just telling me what kind of information I can give you here. What kind of answers to your questions you can get.
Sounds good.
Okay. I'll do the same.
All right.
Okay. Fortune roll.
Got success. All right, we're getting hot tonight. That's okay. You guys both have different information questions. So we can get different information based on both of these.
Yeah. Chat, I don't know if you could see. I apologize. My capture doesn't capture two rolls very well, but we both got sixes. So we both did immaculately. We both did very well.
But I got a 6.5. You got a 6.2.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, then I'll ask a question first. I'm looking at my gather information questions, and I think I'll start with like an open kind of question, which is less specific than Core would go for, but I think it's helpful for us to understand the basic thing is what's really going on here. And I don't expect to have like, oh, this is the monster needs to feed 10 times every 10 decades, sort of like arcane knowledge of it. I want to know from the patterns, like I want to deduce the basics of the pattern.
So deaths. finding a pattern in the midst of all of this, I think with that six, you get great information here and you can ask me follow-up questions, but I think that you notice that all of the attacks are happening in like a radius around a certain part of the arbor. I think that you are pretty well able to deduce that it's ranging out from this one particular section of the arbor until it meets with somebody. So I think as you're looking at this, like you can see the pattern here and you can deduce where maybe it's layering.
Yeah, exactly. I say, well, clearly the base travels from here and there's all these like pins and like core like puts between them the tip of her dueling blade.
Nice.
Which she knows she's not going to use on this mission. She knows that we're going to kill a monster, but she carries it anyway. And she taps a building or a region, wherever it is. And that is a brilliant deduction, obviously, like based on this must be the center point. Jemmy, I welcome you to ask another question and think of a one upper.
And I think Malika will say, oh, it's good to know that those lovely eyes of yours can deduce patterns. Good thing, carry around a sword. Must be good to be able to see things clearly, but indeed, I saw that immediately myself. What I would like to know, and as I take a closer look, is what echoes in the weave here? How is this affecting or dragging our monstrous friend towards their desires?
Yeah, that's super cool. So I think as we're treated to the shot of Kor tapping the map with the dueling foil, what does it look like when Malika starts to essay the weave? Like, is there a special effect that we can work into the budget here?
Yeah, I think definitely it looks like, it's like those old black and white noir movies where everything starts to turn black around them. And like there's just this band of white across the eyes, and the eyes start to glow this more amber, bright color. And I think Kor definitely feels it, but like that pulsating, like it's just very quick because Malika's just trying to tap into the weave, not really like exert their magic, but there's a moment where it feels like the gut drops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just reading the weave, but we're still kind of treated as the audience at home to Malika, sort of like the background fading out. The background fades out, and we get that kind of classic noir shot of just the hooded eyes and then the amber glow as the world sort of peels away to the hidden world beneath. What echoes in the weave as you were looking at this is that this is something that is foreign to Ilrian. This is not a boogin that you would typically find in this region. This is something, you know, from the hinterlands, from Calray perhaps. The energy is all wrong for the city. This is a beast of some kind, just mad and savage. And I think that's what most stands out. But your six entitles you to some follow-up questions if there's anything else you'd like to know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll make way for, because I know Kor still has their follow-up questions.
Yeah.
But I will very smugly, you know, hoping to impress Kor, turn to our Bravo and say, it appears that something truly wild and savage, I'm sure you're familiar with the idea, has been unleashed upon the city. The creature, as dangerous as it is, it could not have come here on its own. Perhaps someone is manipulating things from behind the shadows. Perhaps this monster is also a tool.
I think as you say this, like we get two different camera angles. So there's the Malika camera angle, which shows Kor standing up very straight, shoulders back, like a little bead of cold sweat running down the side of her face, which of course like crosses under her chin and down her clavicle, and like very like posturing, like I'm not afraid of no ghost. And then we get like Rumors side, as like right before that, when Malika was staring at all this, when Kor didn't think she was being looked at, like white knuckled terror, because all of this like arcane stuff that she dealt with last time and with all of you, that she like pretends to not be afraid of at all, totally freaks her the hell out. But she's like, I can't let Malika see that I'm scared, so I have to just be like, no, yeah, I'm totally right, yeah, arcane monsters, sure, no problem.
Fight the scary thing that's not from around here. That's great. I'm not from around here either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, there's both shots. My follow-up question is going to be, when does it layer? Like, I know where it layers based on the time of attacks. Like, when can we find it resting?
It seems like it is taking somebody every night. That's the timeline. It comes out right around Whist, which is midnight. Trist, sorry, Trist, the hour of midnight. It's, you know, finds somebody within the next couple of hours and then is gone before anybody can seek it out.
Nice.
And what you'll find it late at night.
Yeah. So I say, our mercy was it wrong? This beast is going to emerge again at Trist or thereabouts. If we go now, we could catch it in its lair.
If we move fast enough, yes. And I think Malika takes a closer look and is sort of like aware of how Kor is uncomfortable. So Malika is like, I mean, they're not going to say this out loud, but they're pulling in their power a little bit so that Kor won't be too uncomfortable.
Nice.
And
I like that Kor thinks she's feeling Malika.
Yeah.
Coddling at this point.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to ask, let's see, how can I get this person behind the scenes to reveal themselves? Like,
excellent question.
Nice. Excellent. That's really smart.
All right. So the way that you can get it to reveal it, get them to reveal themselves would be to break the connection between the two of them. So I think that what you're seeing in the weave is almost like a direct linkage. Like there's a weight in the weave where this thing is and a ripple that goes off deeper into the city. Now you could maybe trace that, you maybe track that if that's something that you wanted to do. But at the same time, if you could break that connection, that person would have to reestablish that connection. So that
might be faster that way, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please finish.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I'm looking super hot on purpose for Kor, but that's about it. Yeah. Feel free to focus on Lenore.
Oh god.
Yeah. So while we're gesturing, making jabs of who could study a map the best and who can like impress the other one the most. Yeah. What's Lenore up to?
Yeah, what is Lenore up to?
Please always make Lenore wait for her scenes to discuss how hot someone is, whether it's us or another character. Lenore and Kristen will wait. So I think that as soon as Lenore realized what Kor was going to do, that there was going to be kind of a competition, a battle of wits here. And I think Lenore trusts both of them, whether she says it or not, to actually get information. But it's definitely showy. And I don't think Lenore typically takes part in that. And so I think that right when this starts, that she's going to ask if they have a body that she can see.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Yeah, we can totally get like the coroner scene, right? Like,
yeah.
We're watching the Mercies like hunched over a body. I don't think she has it here. I think she has it elsewhere, but we can totally okay. play that scene out.
Why don't we just cut to that? Yeah.
I think we should, yeah.
Unless there's something you wanted Rumor to do here.
No, I think that Rumor probably was just kind of watching Kor and Malika go back and forth for a bit. And then when she saw that Mercy was sneaking off, she's like, I'd better follow along. They might be doing something, right? So she's gonna nice. Follow.
Perfect. Good.
Absolutely.
The moment Kor does not have an audience for this, she immediately like loses some of her excitement about it. Like it was so much more exciting when she was doing this, not only to try and like tease and also flirt with Malika, but because she had an audience.
Absolutely.
And like, it was like doing it to like contest with Malika, but to impress Rumor. It's complicated. It was.
I love the idea though, that Kor did not realize it at first and then kind of turns around to look at the room and there's no exactly. one there.
Or doing all this grand gesticulating and then she's just like, okay, well, yeah, I think it's probably, yes, you're right. Let's kill the beat. You're no smart, Malika.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those drag back shots where like the Mercies and Rumor are kind of heading out one of the doors, like, I'll show you. Yeah, we can see a body, I'll show you. And you know, you guys all kind of shuffle out and they're still back and forth like, but in the weave, I know, but they're gone.
Yeah.
So
love it. Love it.
So good.
Okay. So I think in one of the city morgues, there's one of these bodies that has been brought in by the watch. I think the Mercy, you know, pulls back a sheet and it's dismal. They're right. It's not a clean or what you would expect from, you know, one of the Ilrien vampires or things like that. This is something else entirely. This is red in tooth and claw. So I think as you have this before you, like, how does Lenore go about examining this body?
Yeah, I think that Lenore kind of, and Navi, if you don't like this, please exit. But I think she gently, not pushes her, but gently like guides Rumor back like one or two steps and kind of under her breath says like, steel yourself. Cause I don't think Lenore knows how much death Rumor has seen. And so I think there's like this instant of just wanting to make sure that she's okay, part out of protection and part out of because she doesn't want to have to deal with someone else while she's examining a scene.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently like just, you know, here, here's a bot and you with your humanity still intact, kind of like, oh, we have Rumor. We need to, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so Rumor just kind of like, she just, it's almost like she was going to do it herself is how easily mm-hmm. you're able to move her. So she moves back a couple steps, but then, you know, I assume everyone's probably looking at what's under the sheet. So maybe mm-hmm. no one notices, but when the sheet gets pulled back, Rumor's expression doesn't change at all. She's just kind of looking at this thing like, oh.
Yeah, so I think Lenore, although this may be something that she hasn't seen exactly, I don't think it's upsetting to her, at least not immediately. Like, I don't think we see an emotional or physical reaction from her at all. Yeah, it's business, exactly. And she has seen this before with attacks from monsters. So I definitely think she wants to examine the body in part because although she can see that she agrees that this is not something she recognizes, she only trusts herself or she trusts herself the most. So she wants to do whatever examination she can do to see if she can identify who could have done this, what could have done this.
Yeah, I could see a study here. I could see a survey here. I could even maybe see like a hunt because this is examining the trail of your prey maybe. My job as the GM isn't to tell you what to roll here.
Fair.
Only interpret what it is that you do. But this is still a gather information check. So it's going to be a fortune roll with the appropriate number of dice for the skill you're going to be using.
Okay. I think I'm going to do, I have more in hunt, but it really feels like a study and I want to go with how it feels narratively. So I'm going to do study.
Yeah, if this is drawing conclusions based on evidence, a deep, you know, kind of putting things together, this mm-hmm. does feel like a study.
Okay. So that's what I'm going to do. What's the position?
This is a fortune roll. So there's no consequences here.
You said
this
fortune.
This is controlled.
Got it.
But I can't hurt you here. I can only give you information.
Got it. And is it effect? Or I'm sorry, is it standard?
It's going to be standard effect.
Okay.
You're going to ask a question. I'm going to try and give you the answer.
Okay. Should I assume it's standard unless you tell me otherwise going forward?
It can be. Yeah, that's okay. A good baseline assumption.
And I don't ask you every time.
Usually I'll tell you, but fortune rolls don't really have position or effect. Okay. It's just, we're going to roll some dice. We're going to see what happens.
See what happens. Okay.
This is just when we're not sure what the success rate might be.
Kristen, I removed both your stress and your harm from last session because we it was still on there from last time.
Oh, thank you.
Cleared all that over the season.
Thanks for doing that.
Of course.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So this just means that as you're looking at this, this is, you still get your question. I just don't have to answer it in its entirety.
Okay.
Or I might give you something a little bit misleading mixed in there. So.
Okay.
Is there a question that you are trying to get the answer from this this cadaver in front of you?
Definitely, what is hidden here. I think that whether it's right or not, Lenore is thinking that whatever did this attempted to cover its tracks or make it look like, maybe even make it look like something else entirely did this to throw us off. And so I think she's looking for a secret or something hidden.
Yeah, you're seeing what's in front of you, and you're seeing a level beneath it that as Lenore is clinically going over this cadaver, trying to kind of make connections here, it's clear that this is not as it seems. Mm-hmm. So I think that we are given that classic like medical examiner moment as Lenore steps to the fore and begins to sort of parse over the evidence in front of her. I think that as you're looking through this, you are remembering something from your Jewel City's upbringing, some kind of boogeyman that every mother kind of gives their children, tells them about. Do you have an idea of what kind of creature that might be?
I don't think that Lenore in this memory has like visualizes the creature exactly, except that I think what comes through the most is the feeling, like remembering the story, remembering talking about it with other kids or teens, and how fearful it is. But I think that something that is very abnormally tall, with longer arms or longer extremities than, you know, unnaturally long extremities. Oh,
yeah. Like that terrifying marionette.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Gosh. And no face. Whether we decide it has a face later, I think in this memory, Lenore does not see a face. It is just this menacing figure, shadow figure.
I think as you're looking over the, like, this is not Calrean. This is not that savage thing that you know, Malika called to mind. This is something from the Jewel Cities. This is one of these cast off remnants from this sunken civilization that followed people here.
Does Lenore share that? Does Lenore say anything?
Does Lenore say anything in front of, no. No, I think Lenore will absolutely share later, but not with anyone outside of this exact group. So,
yeah. So I'm gonna ask a follow-up question for you here. I wanna know, in the stories, what hurts that strange, blank-faced marionette creature? What does it fear?
Oh, what does it fear?
What did the mother say drives it off?
I'm sorry, my first thought was eat your vegetables, which is not what I'm going to say in game. It's clearly the mom in me.
the cavity monster. Vegetables.
I'm just saying, like, in the city's breadbasket, it's astonishingly, apropos. Better draw asparagus!
I think that Lenore thinks of Malika immediately, because I think it is a very specific type of light magic.
Ooh, that's cool. All right, so that's why it's coming out at midnight to come and stalk prey, because it's afraid of light. Mm-hmm. That's rad. I like that. Okay, cool. So that's what you get. You get, you know, these gashes that make you think of the old bedtime stories that, you know, before your mercy training, before you learn how to punch monsters in their big dumb faces, it was probably pretty scary. Okay, so that's really cool. Do we have any idea, anything else that we want to know before we kind of cut to the action here?
No, I think I just want to note that, like, as all the everyone's been doing the investigation, she's been kind of gleaning little bits that are given away and looking at the body. Pulling from her background, like, at some point, like, God knows where she had it. She's produced this ridiculous old dusty tome that she carries with her everywhere because she's superstitious, right? So she's just pulled this thing out and she's flipping through it, trying to use all this information. And she's like tearing out all the pages she thinks will be relevant later.
You gotta have your dusty tome.
Like, obviously.
Maybe it could be this one. So you just hear these pages being ripped in the background and then she's pocketing them.
Outstanding.
I love it. And I'm also like, the bibliophile in me is also dying slightly as you're describing,
like, ripping pages out of a book.
But I love that I love that it, yeah, that's what Rumor's doing.
All right, so as you all are kind of getting your last little looks at the map and at the body, Sister Aveline kind of has crossed to one of the windows and is looking out pointedly toward where the sun is setting. And she looks back and she's like, there's not a lot of time. Mm. If we're going to take this thing down tonight before it takes anyone else, we're going to have to move fast. Gather what you need. Meet me at the Arbor Gates. We're going monster hunting. Yeah, I think it's time for a break, don't you?
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll have to figure out what my monster hunting wig looks like.
I have high expectations, Sean.
Yeah, I know. I feel it. All right, friends. We'll see you all in a few minutes. And come back for monster hunting.
I love that Malika and Kor are just always at opposite ends of things. I love the tension. I love the barbs that they share with each other. I love Rumor getting in between it. I love Lenore having to navigate all of it. The relationships in this game are delicious and delightful. And we haven't even started the monster hunt. So join us for the second part where the monster hunt begins.